One of my heroes growing up was Pope St. John Paul II. Of course, he was the Pope for all of my childhood and early adulthood. I got to see him in person. I got to go to his beatification, and I've had Mass at his tomb in Rome. So he's always had a very special place in my heart. And I was struck to hear that during Pope John Paul II's life, people would often ask him, what was the greatest day of your life? If you had to point to one day, what would it be that you'd say, that was the greatest day of my life? And he would always respond, not the day I became Pope, that was probably the most terrifying day of his life. It wasn't the day of his priestly ordination. It wasn't the day when communism fell in his home country of Poland. The greatest day of his life, he was certain of it, was about a month after he was born, the day of his baptism, the day when he was brought into the church as a child of God. He was always certain of this and made sure to tell people. It wasn't all of these great things that I've done or experienced. It was that first moment when the light of Christ came into my life. And as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord this weekend, baptism is an important topic for us to examine. Because it's not just some ritual that we do, or we bring a new baby or an adult into the church that they become just a follower of Christ. It's a moment of change in our lives. It's a moment that we can point to for the rest of our lives to say, I became different that day. We can say, properly speaking, I became a Christian that day. This is what baptism does. It incorporates us into the body of Christ. We're not just followers, we're members. And so we bear that great name of Christian once we're baptized. I think St. John Paul II must have known the writings of St. Augustine. St. Augustine wrote on the anniversary of his priesthood that for the people, he was a bishop, but with the people, he was a Christian. And to be a Christian is much more important than being a bishop. To be a Christian is more important than any other title that we can bear. There's a great dignity to be a Christian. Sometimes we're scared to even tell people we're Christian. But there's a great dignity that comes with that title. It ought to direct our entire lives. It ought to direct us to do certain things and not to do certain things. The dignity of the Christian should be remembered and reverenced. Pope St. Leo the Great said that too. He would say to Christians, remember your dignity. Remember that you were one by the price of Christ's blood. Remember that God dwells inside of you. This is what it means to celebrate our baptism. We have a permanent mark on us forever that people can see us and say, that one belongs to Jesus forever. It's a mark that can't be removed. It's a mark that distinguishes us. And I want to talk just briefly three things that baptism does for us in a very simple way. First, God comes in. Secondly, sin goes out. And thirdly, we become members of God's family. First, God comes in. I become a temple, a living temple of God. The Holy Trinity dwells in each baptized Christian. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I become unlike any unbaptized person. I become different, distinct, set apart, not because of something I've done, but because of something God has chosen to do. He's chosen to descend upon me and live inside of me. God comes into us. Secondly, God can't live where there's sin. So when God comes in, it's as if a candle came onto a dark room. Sin is scattered just like the darkness of the dark room is scattered when that candle comes on. When God comes in, sin goes out. All throughout scriptures in the New Testament, we hear imagery of baptism, linking it with the Old Testament. And one of the images used is the Israelites running from Pharaoh. And what do? They pass through water. They go through the Red Sea. So they leave slavery in Egypt to enter into the freedom of the Promised Land. And that's what happens to each baptized person. We leave the slavery to sin and enter a new relationship of freedom with the Holy Trinity. When God comes in, sin and slavery goes out. And then thirdly, we become members of God's family. We receive a new identity, like I said, a new dignity. I'm God's son. You become God's son or daughter when you're baptized into his family. Just like Christ on that day of his baptism hears from the clouds, "You are my beloved son." The clouds open for us. We have a new relationship restored back to the Father because of our baptism. And we can rightly call God Father because he calls us his children. And just like when you're adopted into a new family or born into a new family, you receive a name. And that happens at our baptism too. We receive a name. I was baptized Chad, of course. But at my baptism, I receive the name Christian. And I'll be called Christian forever. It's a new name, a new dignity that I bear. I'll always be a priest too. I'll be a priest in heaven, God willing. But I don't think people will call me Father Chad in heaven. I don't think our Lord is going to call me Father Chad. I think he's going to call me Chad Christian. Because it's the dignity that I bear as a Christian that incorporates me into the family of God. Incorporates me into membership. Not just a card-carrying member of the church, but a family member. Something that runs deeper. Something that can never be lost. This is what happens with our baptism. God comes in, sin goes out, and we become members of God's family. And we see, of course, an examination of this in our readings when Christ goes and is baptized in the Jordan River. Peter talks about this in the Acts of the Apostles in our second reading. Peter goes into the house of Cornelius after he's baptized, and what does he do? He points to Jesus' baptism to remind the early Christian community where this rite, where this ritual comes from. Peter says, "After the baptism that John the Baptist preached, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power." Jesus had lived 30 years on this earth before his baptism. This was a defining moment in his life. Peter says it's when he was anointed. That's what happens in baptism. We are anointed. We're set apart. Kings are anointed. Prophets are anointed. Those who are different receive this anointing. And so then Jesus takes a new name too. Jesus Christ. That's what Christ means, anointed one. Messiah is the same word in Hebrew, so that Jesus didn't have just the last name of Christ when he was born. Jesus took on the name Christ, Messiah, when he was anointed. And we share that name with him, Christian, anointed ones, ones who are different, ones who are set apart. And when Jesus was baptized, when he was anointed, he ushered in a new era of holiness and mission. This is what happened. Jesus wasn't made holy by his baptism, but he ushered in a new era of holiness. He made John the Baptist holy. He made the waters of the Jordan River holy. And he opened a way of holiness for all Christians, that we would be different. We would be set apart, holy, consecrated, anointed, incorporated into Christ. And then, of course, after those 30 years of his life, he enters a new mission. After he's baptized in the Jordan River, he starts his public ministry. We hear in the gospel, he goes about doing good. He goes about preaching the good news to the poor, to the enslaved, to the captive. Jesus ushers in holiness, and then he takes it on his mission. And we take on that mission with him. As I said, we share the name of Christ, of Christian, with Jesus, so that we would enjoy his holiness, but also the duty to carry on his mission. The world we know needs Christ. The world needs the anointing that Christ took on himself. And the world needs us as his anointed ones, as his Christians. So Christians, remember your dignity. Remember that you are called to holiness. Remember that you are called to take on Christ's very mission on this earth of salvation and redemption. And let us enjoy the celebration of Christ's baptism and our baptism into him, that we would come to know the profound love of God as his sons and daughters.